Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that you are God. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your written word, through creation, through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the fullness of it. We thank you that you have spoken to us, and wisdom cries out, calling us to seek wisdom. Give us grace today that we would learn and grow and become wise, that we would have a hunger and a thirst for becoming wise, to live lives that are pleasing to you. For us that are older, that we would hear something, that we would think about the way we live right now and repent. And for those that are young, that they would hear and learn and grow and set their lives on a course that would exemplify your glory and your power and your might, that would give honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll continue. We're going to start Proverbs chapter 1, and the series is called Truth for Life. It's for everyone, for young and old, just the same. And Proverbs chapter 1, we'll just give it a title, that your soul may prosper. We should think about our prospering soul, or asking the question, does my soul prosper? Is your soul prospering today? Well, here you have in Proverbs a father who's speaking to his son. It is the word of God, God speaking to us then, telling us here is where prospering of the soul begins, with knowing God, with fearing God. And we're going to talk about this today. To live a life skillfully, to live a life wisely, is to live a life full and abundant, just as Jesus described those who would follow after him. And knowing that he said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly, this book of Proverbs will help you to do that. There is an aspect of life that we oftentimes forget, and that is that it is hard work to grow in your stature, wisdom and stature in the Lord. Jesus, when the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature, it didn't mean that he just sat like a blob and all of a sudden he became wise. He learned, as the scripture also tells us, he learned obedience through discipline. He himself would have been disciplined. He was trained in righteousness. He had faithful teachers in his life. And I have to think his mother and father played a huge role in that, in the trajectory of his life. You say, but he was the son of God. He couldn't fail. But the Bible tells us he grew in wisdom and stature. He had to grow up. He had to become well-trained. He had to be disciplined so that he could do it. He was a man. He was human, just like we are, yet fully God all at the same time. And Solomon writes to his son, and he tells him how to attain, what these proverbs are for, to attain wisdom. How are you teaching your children today if you still have children at home? How important is passing on wisdom to your children? Even those that are growing, if you have children that are out of the house, maybe now's your greatest time of teaching your children and your children's children to pass along wisdom. And you can just hear Solomon say, I bring out the treasury of heaven, and I'm putting it before you today, my son. I want you to hear and listen. So Proverbs begins, and Solomon tells his son, he's writing to his son, and he had many sons, but it's the whole idea, whether he's speaking to one or all, we have to remember, that doesn't really matter. What we have to get is God is speaking to us today. He's telling us, he said, I put before you this treasury of wisdom, that you may attain wisdom and discipline. We look at verse 2 and we say, that's our primary purpose statement, the purpose statement for Proverbs. But really, the purpose statement for Proverbs goes from verse 2 of chapter 1 through verse 6. It tells us for Proverbs, these Proverbs that we're going to study are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. This is the purpose statement behind Proverbs. Why is it written? So that you'll have sense enough to live a life that's pleasing to God. That you'd have sense enough to live a life that's pleasing to God. This is why Proverbs is in the Scripture. It's just not pithy sayings to be smart, but wise sayings that you would become wise. And it's so important. I was talking to my mom earlier today, and I thought, you know, it's easy to think, why do we need to spend so much time in Proverbs? If we go chapter by chapter, it'll evolve in how we're going to cover the Proverbs week to week to week. But by the grace of God, it will be important. But why do we need Proverbs? They're so simple. They're self-explanatory, aren't they? But why do we need to hear them as a church and as a congregation? I think it's so important because we look at our society and we can barely distinguish the life of a Christian with the life of someone who's an unbeliever. Divorce rates are just as high within the church as they are in the world. And that's to our folly and our shame. We are very unwise when it comes to marriage as Christians. How about behavior of children? It's said that you can barely tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when it comes to how they behave in the world today. We're very unwise in how we teach and train our children. We have to learn this. If we had this down, if it's so simple, and it's something that we already got, we got that thing, then we would not be seeing the problems in our society that we see today, especially within the church. A church that I was familiar with, and you're familiar with, discovered that they had a large percentage of adultery compared to other churches in the community. They had heard the word of God for years, faithfully preached and proclaimed, yet the leadership was shocked as it began to be discovered that they were living very unwise lives, worldly lives, even though they were hearing the word of God over and over and over. The Proverbs were written that we might attain wisdom. So let's look at these words, attaining wisdom and discipline. We talked about this last week, to become skillful at living a life pleasing to God. It goes beyond head knowledge. It's beyond just being able to answer the Bible trivia questions. It's being able to live out the reasons, the truth that you are receiving. What does it mean to love one another? How do you love one another? How do you carry out compassion and kindness? What is biblical discernment? Things like that. How do you discern what is the right thing to do? To attain discipline as well. Training. The Bible tells us over and over and over that we have to be trained in righteousness. And remember, this is just the Proverbs is the word of God, so that the assumption you have to make right from the very beginning, we're talking about skillful living to please God, a disciplined life that is a training in righteousness for how to live. Why do you discipline your children? You don't just discipline them because they're annoying you from time to time. You provide discipline from them that they would be trained to know how to live. So just like you, that they would have sense enough to live. For understanding words of insight, you have to train, you have to teach, you have to learn how to have insight, how to think through problems. When we educate our children, we want them to eventually become very critical thinkers, to be able to look at a problem and decide what is the right solution, what is the best outcome. That's what these Proverbs are for. You'd become prudent, it even says. Disciplined, acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, a life that is structured in a way that is orderly, that God would find acceptable, a prudent life, one that is thoughtful and the steps are well measured, that you know exactly what you're going to do when you're put in a particular situation. Those no-brainer moments where you could say, well, it's a no-brainer what I'm supposed to do. I know what the right thing to do is. And you learn that as you study the Proverbs. As you study the Word of God, you pick that up. But Proverbs is specifically designed so that you, in a sense, can be put firmly on the path of what is right, what is prudent, what is the most thoughtful way for you to live. It's in pithy sayings found in a nutshell, so to speak, in the Proverbs. For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life would also include doing what is right and just and what is fair. We live in a world today, we can read the newspaper and people are asking the question on certain issues, well, what is the right thing to do? And just because it's right for me, does it necessarily mean it's right for you? What would the Proverbs say about that? God's Word would tell us that there are moments that you have to make decisions and say, this is right. This is just. This is fair. Rather than be ambiguous and watered down in everything that you go to do. We can't, of all people on the face of the earth, we can't be vacillating between two opinions when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world finds it offensive when we say Jesus Christ is the only way that anyone will ever be reconciled to God. That is right. When we say God is judging sinners, we have to stand on that and say, this is just. God is just. But then we add to that, God is the justifier. And so on. But for to learn how to draw lines in the sand and hold those lines, Proverbs, very important for that. For giving prudence to the simple, for teaching people how to make good decisions. Thoughtful decisions. The counseling rooms across the country are full of people that have lost their moorings. They've lost their hold. They don't know how to make right decisions anymore. They can't even discern what is the best thing to do. They're simple. They're foolish. They're heading down. They're on a trajectory of folly and failure. But the Proverbs help give prudence, give thoughtfulness to the simple. Or you can say, aha, I know what to do. Sense enough to live. Knowledge and discretion to the young. We have a great example coming up later here in Proverbs chapter 1 about knowledge and discretion and the crossroads that people are drawn to oftentimes. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. So you say to yourself, I'm pretty wise already. I've lived a long time. I can see things. You can see more. You can see more. You can learn more. You can grow more. You can profit others more as you would grow in wisdom as well. Because believe me, you will never arrive at the perfect state of wisdom. All of us, from time to time, begin to become lazy in how we live out our Christian life. And lazy in how we think about our relationship with God. We become very passive when it comes to our own sanctification and passive when it comes to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and letting the Word of God work. Proverbs is great and useful for helping the wise to get more wisdom. So we won't become slothful and lazy. Think of David. And think of the kings of Israel. One of the things that someone remarked one time was, it seems horrifying. It's a horrifying thing when you look at the history of the kings of Israel. As they became older, they became so foolish in the way that they lived. They became less thoughtful, less diligent. It seemed rather than ascending to greatness, they declined to disgrace. Proverbs will keep you from falling into disgrace as you get older. Proverbs will teach you how to understand parables and proverbs, how to think about these things. And this is what the Proverbs are written for. It's why he wrote, why God has Proverbs for us, and why we can benefit from them. Then he says that great statement, verse 7, probably the one that is the foundation of all wisdom. He says so. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He tells us the right place to begin. Where do you start teaching and training your children, for instance, wisdom and knowledge? You start with God. God starts with God in his revelation to us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. God what? What about God? God created. God is creator? Yes, God is creator. He has right and authority over everything. Fear of the Lord, this knowledge, this reverence that there is a God in heaven who has created everything. Fear of the Lord, a reverence for who He is the beginning of knowledge. All of our knowledge bursts forth out of God, comes forth from Him. And Jesus Christ is a manifestation of the glory of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the acts of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, so it is no small surprise that the Scripture begins with God and ends with God. The Proverbs are rooted in the knowledge of God. So never take it as simply, how can I have a better experience when our family goes on vacation? Or how can we just get along in our family? That Proverbs are greater than that. Proverbs are about, how do we live a life skillfully that pleases God, that honors Him, that glorifies Him? But keep in mind, there's always a promise, and we'll talk about the promises that go along with the Proverbs as well as we get further into chapter 1 here in just a minute. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And all through the Proverbs, as we read them and as you study them, you're going to see three people mentioned. You're going to have the simple, which is that person who is, in a sense, groping about for what they ought to do. And there's two ways to go. You can become a fool, the second person mentioned in the Proverbs, or you can become wise, the third person mentioned in the Proverbs. But it's the same person, a simple person, to become a fool or to become wise. And those that despise the knowledge of God, despise the will of God, despise the notion of God, are fools. And they despise this wisdom and discipline. So verse 7 kind of takes us back to the very beginning and says, this is what the Proverbs are for, but fools ignore these Proverbs and write them off as babblings of old men. There's nothing that can discourage people more than to hear someone reject wisdom. Have you ever been teaching someone a very difficult task, maybe in maintenance on a machine, a complex machine where you work, Albert, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, whatever. And then they tuned you out. And the time came for them to work on it. And you think to yourself or tell them, I told you how to fix this thing. And it just cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because they didn't listen. They despised it. They liked the pay, but they didn't want the responsibility. Well, this gives us payment, in a sense, as we become wise, but it also provides for us much responsibility as well. So, it's so important that we see this, that he tells us why we have Proverbs. So, if you ever wonder, why am I studying this, go back to chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and you'll get the idea. Now, verses 9, 8, 8 and 9, just imagine yourself a son sitting under a father that would teach you these things. And maybe you say, I was a son at one time that I sat under the teaching of a father that taught me how to live in a way that would be pleasing to God. You're to be blessed. This is what the intent of these verses, they speak to us in this, that they say, my son, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. We can say it this way. The first way to grow in wisdom is to fear God. The second is to obey your parents. This puts a little bit of a first word that has to be said. Parents, honor God with how you teach your children. Honor God with your own life, that they can see a consistency in your life. It's hard to obey a mother and a father, although you're commanded to do so, who are wicked and ignore the truth of God. But you're still commanded to obey them. But this is written with the understanding, with the presupposition that the parents are godly, that the parents have sought God, the parents are seeking God, the parents are growing in wisdom as well, and are asking their children to do as you see me doing, to hear the words I say that I've applied to my own heart. And he's just beckoning his son, listen, my son, listen. Listen, hear, pay attention. apply yourself to observation. Wisdom is gained practically through hearing, through observing, through paying attention. You ever been teaching children and you say, listen, listen. These proverbs are that kind of a teaching that you have to listen. You need to beckon ones to listen, hear, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Pay attention. Do what we're telling you. Verse 9 just really begins rounding this out, that the proverbs, though they're precepts, they're full of promise. Verse 9, Solomon writes, these teachings of your mother and father, this instruction, the implementation of the wisdom of the instruction that they give you, will be a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck. The best way I can put it is, heeding your parents' biblical instruction will yield a beautiful life. How would you like to, can children, listen, can you envision for yourself, would you envision for yourself a beautiful life where it's described here in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 9 that your life would be, the instruction would be for you an adornment, a garland of grace around your neck, a chain to adorn your neck, treasure, gold, like that only better. A life of integrity, a life of honor, an attractive life that attracts other people. This is the life that you could live if you listen to your parents' godly instruction. Those who listen to rebel against their parents, it's a known fact, people that rebel against their parents who, and they do whatever it is that they want to do, they will attract people. But they'll attract people of the same ilk, of the same waywardness, the same rebellious spirit. Where do gangs come from today? I'm sure we could have a big discussion on that, but gangs are prevalent in our society today. Wayward children joining up with wayward children. And they do wicked acts and wicked things. But oh, if you have godly parents, and I think most every child in here does, listen to your parents. And even affirm that you listen to your parents sometimes. I think that's good for them to. Maybe they won't beat a dead horse if they know that you're actually listening to them. I find myself repeating myself until it's confirmed that my children actually listen to us. But they've learned to affirm it, and they prove it through their actions as well that they've listened. Verses 10 through 19 is a very practical section, and one could look at that and say, it's an example that this father's given to his son of saying, here's a situation you want to watch out for. Again, it's back to that idea in the Proverbs that he gives is a general truth through particular examples. And out of those particular examples, you draw a general truth. And there would be many applications you could make from this, but here he said, he sits his son down. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, in other words, if those who have proven that they have no character, no integrity, lacking wisdom, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Have you ever been enticed by the wrong crowd? Of course you have. We all have. They've tried. People have tried to entice you. Do not give in to them. No matter what, don't give in to them. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It goes on. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. This seems pretty extreme to us. But it's not extreme. This happens every day. Maybe not in these exact words, but it's happening all around us today. You can read the news and you can watch the news and you can see it. Let's swallow them alive, verse 12 says, like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things. There's always a brighter future, it would seem, where evil begins to carouse and drag people in with them. To fill our houses with plunder, throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, Do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin and are swift to shed blood. Then he gives a parable. Right in the midst of the story, it says, how useless to spread a net in view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're hurting themselves. They waylay only themselves. In the end, even though they wreak havoc, in the end, they hurt themselves. They're sinning against themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. That's one he gives a very particular story. Those who go after ill-gotten gain, it takes away the lives of those who get it. Make sure you're living prudently, son. Give thought to your ways. Give thought to your steps. Measure them carefully. Consider the result of them. Those who seek after this kind of a life, who are going to take whatever they can get, no matter what it's going to cost someone else, they are cutting off their own future. So that's just one example. That's a great story that he gives right at the very beginning. Don't follow the crowd of the foolish. Now look at it. The influence of folly is all around us today. Watch YouTube once in a while if you want to see foolish things. People that have millions of followers and they're doing dumb stuff all day long. Hey, let's go jump off a building and land on that little beach ball down there and let's see if it stops us. Yeah. What would you say? All kinds of things, right? But that's at least saying that's folly. Put those words in your mouth, parents. Use the words, that is folly. That's foolishness. The Bible tells us what is folly and what is prudent, what is stupid. And don't do stupid things. It's so important. And at the same time, you tell these stories and you can teach what is wisdom. There is a lesson that's being taught here that it can't just be said that I didn't have a good home to grow up in. I wasn't taught how to live. Because Solomon goes on in verses 23-23 and he says, wisdom is crying out all the time. I was talking to a lady this morning in our church. And she, can I say, Joanne, she said, I didn't have a good upbringing, but I learned. You were taught wisdom. You picked it up. You watched. You observed. You saw. Now what would be a folly? What would be folly? What would be foolish? Observe around you. Solomon writes, wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. She cries out. She cries out and she says, make decisions. Look around you and see what is the end of these who make these poor, foolish decisions. So she says, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How does wisdom cry out? Of course, you'd say, well, there's preachers. They cry out. Those crazy prophets that are preaching a social message even are saying, repent, God's judgment is coming against our country. Wisdom cries out. And you're supposed to say, yeah, that is wrong, what they're approving of. Wisdom cries out through the conversation of Christians. Wisdom cries out through even science and observing the nature of things. Paul would even say, as he wrote Romans chapter 1, wisdom was crying out from creation. The creation teaches us that there is a God who has eternal power and is divine in nature, and so on. And verse 23, if you had responded to my rebuke, wisdom says, I would have poured out my heart to you. If you would have just listened, you would have gained wisdom. And I would have made my thoughts known to you. No one will be ever able to say, I didn't have a chance to become wise. I didn't have a chance to hear about God. There's a story R.C. Sproul writes about a lady who had come to him for counseling, and she had traveled across the country. She had heard him teaching at a conference, and she thought, if I can just get to R.C. Sproul, then I could hear the truth. Then I could have my problems could be solved. And she was coming to see him, and she said to him, Mr. Reverend Sproul, or whatever, here's what I've done. And he asked her, have you confessed your sin? She said, now wait a minute, I got to talk through my problem. Don't you want to hear my problem? He said, have you confessed this sin before the Lord? She said, thousands of times. And he said, your sin is forgiven, but you're guilty of the sin of unbelief. Wisdom in such simple things as even wisdom cries out from the mercy seat of God. Where there is mercy, where you plead for mercy, mercy will be given. Wisdom cries out again and again and again on the streets. God would, and so you have to think, wisdom cried out to her that day, and she could hear it. Verses 24 through near the end of the chapter, it's this call to listen now. There's a finality to wisdom's voice. We have to say at one time, it's never too late. There's always hope to grow in wisdom. You may say, well, I'm old. I don't have any much time left. You can grow in wisdom. But this is what listen to what wisdom says in verses 24 through 31. But when you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity comes, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind. It goes on and on. Wisdom goes on to say, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. There is no victim when it comes to unwise decision, except for the people that suffer at the hands of a fool. They're the victims. But the person that makes the foolish decisions over and over and over, that refuses to heed the wisdom, the godly counsel of the godly, will suffer. This is written that you would pay attention and wake up and think, and examine yourself. Am I being foolish? Am I heeding the words of God, or am I heeding the words of fools? Am I listening to godly counsel, or am I listening to the counsel of the world? And if you say today, I think there's a part of me, I'm listening to the counsel of the world, I'm trying to fit in with the world, take heed of this, because wisdom says, I will mock you on the day of your disaster. When you are sitting alone in a jail cell somewhere, wisdom will mock you. When you're standing at the judgment seat of God, having rejected the good news of Jesus Christ, wisdom will stand and mock you and rebuke you. What you need to hear is repent. If you have ignored sound instruction, ignored wisdom from God's Word, ignored reading the Word of God, repent from that today. And here's what verses 32 and 33 say in closing. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. That's how the Proverbs end. Your life will be blessed if you heed wisdom. Now, how will it be blessed? You're going to read throughout Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs says, wisdom is better than silver and gold. Wisdom is better than wealth. So when you say, I'll be blessed, maybe that means I'll be wealthy. Not necessarily, not in earthly wealth. But the writer says wisdom is better. Wisdom is personified throughout Proverbs. I'll just give you a hint. God says that His Son is the wisdom of God incarnate. Jesus cried out, just like wisdom cried out in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, in other words, you who ignore wisdom crying out in the streets, and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Be willing today. As we close in prayer, I would invite you to pray to the Lord. God, help me to hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for knowing wisdom, for growing in wisdom, to ask the Lord to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you would know Him better. Father in heaven, give us grace today that we could seek after wisdom. If we're not hungry to know you, that we would hunger to know you, that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness that comes through growing in wisdom, how to live. Give us skill for living, and we realize it will take time, but give us a hunger to begin today. For the children here today, Lord, let them have this great desire put upon their heart, a hunger to call out to you, to plead with you to give them wisdom. For parents to take seriously their role in teaching and training their children in the right way. For grandparents to desire to teach and train their children and to pass on wisdom to their grandchildren. We pray that you would give us help and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.